Welcome all once again to Dual World in episode 75. We're going to keep this hopefully nice and short. It's like 100 degrees out here. So I'm going to try to get this out of the way so I can go back to laying under the AC for a bit. Joining us this week, we have Daniel.
Hello.
And we have DJ joining us again.
Hello.
We're going to keep this short and sweet, so we're probably going to nix the whole what you've been playing, except for Daniel, who got to check out some of the promising, I guess,
I got to play Game of the Year 2012 yesterday.
Oh, you got to play New Super Mario Bros. U, huh?
Implying the Wii U will have any Game of the Years. Implying the Wii U has games.
Wii U has no game, but yes, you got to check out Borderlands 2 and...
It's good. It's very good. And I want it.
Oh, okay. Short and simple and to the
point. So it was the E3 demo they had, and they just had it set up. I actually scared the 2K rep who was there, because it was this PC gaming event, and I sort of sat down at the computer, at the desk, and I was like, what is this thing doing here? Because they had 360 controllers. And he sort of ran over to me and was like, no, this is running on PC. We haven't finished the PC UI yet, so you don't have to worry about that. And I was like, I'm just kidding. It was quite funny. You can tell we sort of had that response practiced a little bit. And I feel sorry for kind of scaring him a little bit. So Borderlands 2, they had... The game looks very nice, like, you can tell they kind of, obviously they've expanded on the art style that they decided to go with the original, but on PC at least it looks very nice. You see like reflections on all the guns and reflections in windows when they're supposed to be, and they've actually got like a sort of city environment in the game now, which is called Opportunity, which is where the demo was. And basically it was just one mission where you're told to go and hack this robot that cuts down statues of the main antagonist, which is Handsome Jack, who's kind of an asshole, actually.
Yeah, it's the name Handsome Jack.
Yeah. He must be an asshole with a name like that, yeah. Handsome Jack, he's actually quite a character you like to hate, kind of like GLaDOS sort of thing, where, like, so you cut down a statue with this robot and... He antagonizes you. He says, you know, that you're an animal and you like to eat your own limbs and stuff. And so the humor is intact. And the sheer variety, you can immediately tell that the variety of guns is even more expanded than there was before. Like in the previous Borderlands, there was maybe three or four variants of each gun. The variants mainly came in the stats and how you shot them. Whereas now we've got like tons of different guns with different reloading mechanisms and firing mechanisms. So there's like an SMG with like a spinning wheel that speeds up as you fire it, and there's like a sniper rifle that splits in two and he loads the clip into the middle of it. And the guns are like even more satisfying because of that. And like the best part of Borderlands 1 is even better in Borderlands 2, which is... other than that, there's not much to say. They had this cool thing where if you found a particular weapon that you really liked, the game would generate a code for you, and you write the code down, and when you take it home, when you buy the game, you can punch the code in and you'll get that weapon, which I thought was pretty cool, even though I couldn't get it to work. I couldn't get it to show me the code.
So that's like a type of pre-order bonus.
Oh, I suppose it's more, an incentive to go and buy the game. Even though the fact that it being a good game is incentive enough, if you ask me.
That hasn't really meant anything this generation. You have to get every people. I think and we'll get to this as another point. I don't even think it's up, but I think we're just kind of gotten to the point where first day, first week, first month sales are so much more important than having a sustainable, you know, game that sells decently over time.
I went and played Colonial Marines as well, the game that's been in development forever, and you know, all of a sudden there's a load of stuff come out. It's a lot better than AVP 2010, I'll tell you that, because I wasn't really a fan of AVP 2012. I kind of liked the campaign a bit, but it was a bit generic. But you can tell that the Gearbox has really nailed the atmosphere. They had a multiplayer game set up, so it was a team of team deathmatch, aliens versus marines, and the map was surprisingly atmospheric considering this was a multiplayer game. I mean, there were times where it was genuinely tense with me and, you know, three other marines huddled around each other, just waiting for aliens to jump out at us.
Were you a female marine?
No, they haven't. I don't know if they put the female. This is an old build, so they probably haven't put the females in at that point. But none of us got to play the aliens, which was a little bit disappointing. They had guys from Sega playing the aliens, probably to sort of alleviate the fact that the aliens have obviously got a learning curve to them.
Yeah, if it's anything, I think, what is it, Aliens vs. Predator is, 2010 or 2011?
Is 2010.
Yeah, that took a bit to get used to, just because, you know, not all your controls are their movements and stuff. So,
but the alien perspective in Colonial Marines is not first person, so it makes it a lot easier to deal with.
Oh,
and
okay.
From what I saw lining up, they do some really intelligent things to the camera. Like, if you decide to crawl into a vent, then it goes into first person, and then when you come out, it turns back into third.
Okay.
So you really know, like, when you're going, and you never really get confused as to what's happening around you. So yeah, I think Gearbox has done really well with both games, actually, considering they've been developing simultaneously. There wasn't much there. The rest of the games that were there were mainly indie games that I'm not terribly interested in, if I'm honest. So I just sort of gave them a miss. So that was my weekend.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, other than that, there's really not much to talk about. I guess I should ask DJ if you've been playing anything new.
No, I've just been downloading new sets off PlayStation Plus.
Okay. Yeah, so, I mean, we'll just kind of move ahead because it's, like I said, I just want to get out this heat for a bit. So, yeah, we're going to go to news, and news is kind of, again, it's not much, but
there's some interesting things that came out.
It's some interesting things and some that I'm just kind of personally frustrated with at this point. And we'll just kind of hit them all in order, we'll tackle them. But I'm really kind of getting sick of the whole HD remake movement, where we're kind of getting to the point where there are more interesting HD remakes in the pipe for the rest of the year than there are actual games that people care about. Yeah, we have Jet Set Radio coming out soon. I don't know if Tony Hawk HD came out yet.
Oh, no, that's out on the 18th or something.
Yeah.
It'll be a couple weeks.
Yeah, that's coming out, and we just got an announcement this week alone of a Dragon Ball Z collection, which has, I think, Dragon Ball Z Budokai 1 and 3. Announcement of Marvel vs. Capcom Origins, which has the original Marvel vs. Capcom and Marvel Superheroes fighting games. And then we had an announcement of Knights HD.
I have to question, do we really need remakes of fighting games? Like, really?
See, I think Marvel vs. Capcom Origins is an interesting idea, and this kind of goes to my point that I've made time and time again about remakes and re-releases in H, is that I think it makes great sense if you're using it to build and, you know, build up to a release. Like, if this was coming out before Marvel vs. Capcom 3 or Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3, it would make sense, especially for a franchise that was dormant for about a decade before Marvel vs. Capcom 3. But the fact that this is coming out, what is it, a year and a half? And that, we don't even have an exact release.
And not to mention, the fighting game genre is tapering off because everybody's getting in on it. So,
it seems like Capcom's just trying to milk the last bit of this. And again, it, you know, it's one of those things where it's not a game that's readily accessible and stuff like that. But I still think it would have made more, especially being that they're calling it Origins, it would have made more sense for this to come out before Marvel vs. Capcom 3, because they did Marvel vs. Capcom 2 before that for the same reason, and this would have worked just as well. That said, you know, and this is the same thing with, I guess, Knights, is that they're arcade titles, so it's not as bad. I mean, it's like, what, $10-$15 for the two, or is this a retail title? This is an arcade title.
Yeah.
So,
And I can understand, like, them releasing... Jurassic Radio and Knights make more sense, because obviously they haven't made any of those games since. And it's kind of part of the Dreamcast series, you know. And so it makes sense for those, but fighting games...
Yeah, I mean, again, fighting games are interesting because they do evolve, but it's at a point where, I'm curious to see how this does, but like I said, I think we're getting to the point where HD remakes exist purely to be HD, purely to kind of fill in the library of stuff
yeah.
and say, like, okay, you know what, we don't have time to do a new game, or we're just kind of padding out our resume.
Oh, look, we've got the source code for this, let's release it.
Yeah, because, I mean, a lot of these games don't even kind of get, like, a full HD.
Saying that, I mean, it could be worse. It could be Final Fantasy VII, again.
It could be Final Fantasy VII, but, you know, Final Fantasy VII Remake isn't going to be made until they top it.
But aren't they re-releasing it on PC?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, is, like, Square Enix, like, they have a 15-year-old game, and they still can't make a trailer with gameplay in it.
I think the
decision to put microtransactions in it just baffles me. Like,
yeah, there's microtransactions in it.
Yeah, there's microtransactions in Final Fantasy VII.
How does that work?
It would be to level your characters up prematurely.
So if you don't want to grind,
yeah.
you can be like, well, I'll just buy in it. Huh. I mean, that's an interesting way of doing it. I could see that becoming a future for RPGs. It helps alleviate some of the problems people have with them, where they do kind of become grind fest, but it's also like it's just speaking to that laziness sometimes.
But I don't understand, like, if you're gonna make RPGs appeal to the people who don't want to grind, like, put that in your game design, don't make it so you can pay for it.
Yeah, but they're not doing, I mean, they kind of did that with Final Fantasy XIII, where you don't really have to grind. But this is, I assume there's more work in trying to do Final Fantasy VII as a game that wouldn't involve grinding than it is to just say, we'll just allow you to pay up levels if you want.
Yeah.
And, you know, the obligatory, Final Fantasy VII finally has cloud saving joke. There we go. We had to get that in there. We also had Knights HD, which... is interesting, and it seems to be Sega's new MO with that. They said as much, that they're kind of just focusing their retail products on
the
Sonic franchise. And Football Manager and Aliens and one other franchise I forgot about. And the digital stuff seems to be, like, most of the digital stuff recently has kind of been HD remakes. It's Crazy Taxi, it's been, you know, it's Jet Set Radio, it was Sonic Adventure 1 and 2, and stuff like that. I don't even think it's officially confirmed yet.
No, it's still just a rumor.
Well, wasn't the screenshots up on Xbox.com, which tends to do
a terrific job.
Xbox.com does a terrific job of making stuff, I have to say. It makes sense. Sega has a very vast library of old and titles that has a cult following. And honestly, based on the sales of the Saturn and the Dreamcast, a lot of people haven't played these games anyhow. So you can find a second or third life on Xbox Live and PSN and stuff like that. I've never played Knights. I've never played the new Knights, so I don't really know how it stacks up. But you know, it doesn't look like a. It looks like a game that you have to have been a fan of.
Yeah.
It is that. There we go. And finally, we have. The Dragon Ball Z Budokai HD Collection, which does the same thing that Silent Hill did, and some other games. I don't really get the point of an HD collection that cherry picks the games to include. I realize that not every game might be golden, but I still think it's odd to say, okay, this counts, this one doesn't.
Especially if you're going to miss out number two.
I mean, granted, it's not a huge story. I haven't played, I've only played, like, the first Budokai. They're decent fighting games. But, you know, Dragon Ball Z itself just has a really confusing and odd story.
Yeah,
I haven't played Dragon Ball game since the Game Boy Advance.
So, yeah, I mean, again, it's an arcade title. It's not an arcade. It's actually, I think this is a retail title. So I'm curious to see how it does. I mean, they all, at this point, I imagine they can't do bad. You're reselling an old game that have probably already turned this profit.
And they must be very cheap to make, so.
Yeah, because a lot of them aren't, that's the other thing I don't get with them. God of War did it. But most other games aren't, actual HD. They don't go back through and kind of clean up the game. It's just kind of we'll up-res it to 720p, and we'll put it on a disc and card a day.
Pretty much.
And that's, you know, some of those games just really look ugly, and you do that because some of those textures and stuff don't hold up when they're not natively, displayed in that resolution. So, yes, that is three big HD re-releases that's coming out for the rest of the year. The big news of this week, or the news that may not really kind of kicked us off this week, was Sony purchasing
Gaikai. Yeah, and I think this is funny because it was like, yeah, Sony are going to do this, they're going to do this, and then E3 came around and there was no mention, and then it was like, oh, okay, maybe that was wrong. And then it turned out that we were right all along.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious what happened here, because it's the thing where, it's one of those things where it's like, it was kind of hinted at for E3. Even Gaikai would kind of mention, and we have this huge announcement to do at E3, and E3 came and went, and everybody was like, what happened here? It is getting to that point where I think a lot of people,
post E3 is the new E3.
Yeah. It's getting to the point where people realize that E3 isn't as big as it needs to be or it should be anymore, because you're no longer obligated to kind of have this one broad show because it's so easy to get news out there. And you can dominate the news cycle. Sony had the news cycle with this story for most of this week, because what else were they competing with?
Yeah, exactly.
I will say this much, though, is that, and you know, it's very hard to say because it was, but Sony needed to get ahead of the ball with this one, though, because it's like this announcement was made and everybody's kind of like, what does this mean? What does this mean? What does this mean? And, you know, it's been a week and we still
don't know
what
it means now. anyone's guess. I'm kind of interested because I don't think that, I'm of the opinion that these kind of cloud streaming services are not going to be terribly profitable in the long run, because, I mean, there's nothing but downsides to them, really. I mean, you don't get any sort of feeling of ownership to your game. I mean, even with something like Steam, you know, you can see the files on your computer and you can modify them if you really want to. You know, you're hindered by your internet connection. And even then, the services aren't that good. I bought Deus Ex Human Revolution on Live, and it's just not that great to play. I would much prefer, you can notice the lag, even though it's not that much.
I'm kind of curious to see, because, I mean, that is one of the big things, especially being, which is why I don't expect it on the PS3. The PS3 doesn't have the most stable wired connection, I find. I don't know if it's just, I've heard this from a lot of people, it just seems to either have a weird type of connection or something, but in general, it seems to have, it gets less speed than an Xbox 360 on the same network.
Yeah,
and
I've seen, the only thing I can see this being, practical for, and this is the opinion that I've had for cloud streaming services the whole time, is they are brilliant, they are fantastic for rentals and demos. Because, you just press a button and there you go, you're playing a game.
I was going to say, how does it work for, online play? Because, I mean, then your internet connection is doing double duty at that point.
No, it's not.
Or is it just saying,
well, when you play a game on Live, what it does is it restricts those to, it restricts you to playing with only people on Live. So, and they just the online servers just communicate with each other. It's you're not doing any extra.
Okay, so it's just basically like it's streaming the game online anyhow. So
yeah,
you're just streaming that game. Okay, I was gonna say the other potential for this could have been it's kind of like an evolution of PSN Plus, where like you'll get a couple of games for free since you know like you have to maintain the service anyhow.
Yeah.
So that way, if you don't like instead of like downloading it and stuff like that, you can just kind of stream the PSN games for free.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Stuff like that. It's, you know, especially being that I think we've had, at least I have this, is that since a lot of the PS3 games have mandatory installs, your hard drive space does kind of feel quirky.
Yeah.
So, you know, this would alleviate part of that problem at least. So, we shall see. But yeah, it's a huge store. Oh, go on.
No, I just I've had my PS3 for a couple of years now. I bought the 320 gigabyte one. I've got like more than a gigabyte left.
Yeah.
And right, yeah. But people say, oh, you know, like, it's not that hard drive space. I mean, it's not that much. But
well, I mean, it's a ton of space on paper. I mean, I think mine has like 250 or something like that. But when each game you buy has like a 5 gig install file, and it does kind of start to add up after a while, and then you're paying, what is it, rearranging your refrigerator?
Yeah.
I mean, I've started using it a lot more since the PSN Plus because of the games. I mean, unlike the 360, it's a lot easier to upgrade your hard drive.
Yeah, I mean, either or. I mean, the 360 hard drive isn't hard to upgrade. It's just really expensive for what it is.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, the 360 hard drive is really just swapping in and out. It's taking something on and putting it... but, you know, the PS3 one, you need, like, a laptop hard drive. You need to know how to install it and stuff like that. But, you know, it is what it is. And like I said, it's a big story once you actually figure out what Sony's going to do with the company. I'm actually surprised Sony has money to buy... big company at this point, but that's another story. Finally, what I have on this is that Activision announces a Walking Dead first-person shooter, which...
And it's going to be developed by Terminal Reality, so it's not going to be great. It's going to be okay, but not...
What games have they made?
Dan, you?
I'm done.
Well, while he does that, I think I understand the idea of doing a first-person shooter with zombies. I mean, that's been done, and I can kind of understand it with The Walking Dead. But to me, The Walking Dead isn't a game about shooting. I mean, the whole point of the franchise is that you want to try to avoid it as much as possible, just because it tends to create a lot more noise than you ever want to draw to yourself.
Yeah.
And the last game they made was Kinect Star Wars, which does not give me hope at all.
Yeah.
They've also made Ghostbusters, the video games, Spy Hunter, Nowhere to Run, Metal Slug Anthology, Blood Rain 2, Roadkill, Blood Rain. So yeah, not the most impressive resume.
I'd
laugh
if it was like a reskin of Nazi Zombies. Like,
I really wouldn't be surprised if they used the Call of Duty engine at some point, because that's what they did for Quantum of Solace, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, most of their shooters run on the Call of Duty engine at this point, I imagine. I mean, it's a solid engine, and honestly, it's the most popular game in the market, so why not try to copy it wholesale? That, and at this point, everybody in Activision has worked on Call of Duty at some point, so they all have experience with that engine. So yeah, I mean, is there anything else to...
I think Telltale announced a second season for The Walking Dead.
Oh, well, yeah, they announced season 3 is coming out in August, I think they want to say.
Season 2.
Oh, I mean episode 3 is out in August, and they announced a season 2?
Yeah.
Okay, so there you go. I know people who are trying to... And, I mean, while it's been kind of iffy, I mean, granted, it's only been 2 episodes, they have done a decent job with it. I mean, granted, it was like 6 weeks between episode 1 and episode 2, and it's about 6 weeks or 2 months between episode 2 and episode 3. But it's better than Sonic the Hedgehog, which was a year and a half.
And it's better than Valve.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Valve just can't count to three.
Oh, even between even between Half-Life 2 Episode 1 and 2, it was about 2 years.
They're working on it. They'll get around to it.
Bless them.
Yeah, I'm waiting for a scale to start.
It's not easy being green. I think that's about it for our news this week. Anything we want to say before we wrap?
Borderlands 2 is going to be the best game ever, you should buy it.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, that's
I'm not a
corporate
shill for 2K or Gearbox or anything.
If you've got the
just a corporate shill for Borderlands 2.
If you've got the loot edition pre-order, you know, the big-ass checks.
Yeah, they run out of those so quickly. I wasn't really planning. I don't really do limited editions. I'm waiting for 2K to get their crap together and put it on Steam so I can weigh up my pre-order options and what I get.
I think it's a Steamworks game.
Well, it is, but if it's going to cost me less to pre-order from Steam and I get the same content from retail, then I'm going to do that. Just 2K, you need to hurry their asses up.
Oh, and I think if you've got a Borderlands 1 save, you lock your stuff in the second one.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I was going to say that Transformers Fall of Cybertron has been bumped up a week, so now it's coming out August 21st.
Well, that's pretty cool.
So now we have like two games out this summer. Actually, it's a pretty good summer if your name happens to be Squaresoft. Or Square Enix, I should say, with The Rhythm Final Fantasy, which has been getting remarkably rave reviews from people who've played it, to Heroes of Rune, which has a demo out in the 3DS eShop this week, and it's a pretty fun dungeon crawler, and then you have Kingdom Hearts 3D at the end of the month. So, it's a pretty big summer for them.
Is it the 3DS XL this month?
Next month.
Yeah. Well, I think it's out here this month.
It's out this month for you folks. I guess we have to delay it to make sure we include it in AC for ourselves.
But Nintendo cut the price on it. That makes it okay, doesn't it?
I don't know. We're getting an AC adapter, so. So, yes, I want to thank DJ for joining us, Daniel. And I won't be here next week, so hopefully this works well smoothly.
Hopefully other people will be here next week.
Yeah, so hopefully no major news breaks or, you know, anything Nintendo related, because these guys are negative without me. But this has been Dual World in episode 75.
Handsome Jack. This tyrant will be the end of us all. need a lot of guns. Pandora's changed. Are you ready?